There we are, John chapter 14, verse 1. Just going to read this to you. I'm going to read it out of the Message, which I haven't done much for a while now. But in comparing this to the New King James, I feel the translation is very good. And on Matthew chapter 14, John chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you. It's very relevant for the days we're in. John chapter 14, verse 1. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your principles. Thank you for your life. Thank that everything that flows into us and out of us here corporately and as a church in this city and a church in this nation. Lord, may everything of your power, your goodness, your holiness, your strength increase in us to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not worry or surrender to your fear. For you've believed in God. Now trust and believe in me also. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking about himself. It's not talking about me. Okay. Now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. And if it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas, people have, joke about Thomas. Thomas was amazing. He was a guy that liked to understand. He was a guy that liked to know for sure. So it's Thomas that asks the question. But Thomas was one of the great apostles that ended up in India. And the Christian church in India came out of his ministry in that time, way back. He was martyred in India. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you're going. So how could we know the way there? He's speaking obviously in very human terms. Verse 6, Jesus explained, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know the Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him. Philip spoke up, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be all we need. Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am. How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. This is one of the great truths of our faith. This is one of the great foundational truths of our faith, is that Jesus is the exact image of the fullness of God. He's the very image bearer. He's the very likeness. He's the very one who manifested the very nature of the Father. One of the key things of our faith. It's why we don't have to be confused about what the Father's like. We just look at Jesus. Okay? Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father and that my Father lives as one with me, or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I've done. If you don't understand that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, at least believe in me because of the great miracles I've done. Chambers, paraphrase. Verse 12, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows, this is a timeless truth. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is timeless. There's no expiry date on this truth. No expiry date on this truth. This truth is what? This truth is what? Timeless. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to Him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Wow. I felt unbelief rise in the room during the reading of those last two statements. I'll tell you why. It's because there's still unbelief to be broken off some of the dimensions of prayer and some of the dimensions of relationship, intimacy, and the will of the Father that religion or experience or disappointment has somehow wrapped around these passages. And there's disappointment to be broken off. Where there's disappointment, something is often unbelief. There's skepticism. There's cynicism. And so when these are read, it's like in the heart, sometimes the mind just skips over them and sort of disqualifies them in the heart, in the mind. But this is what Jesus said. And what did he say before that? Verse 12, I tell you this timeless truth. I tell you this timeless truth. Then he goes on in verse 15. Loving me empowers you to obey my commandments. See, the legalist might look at that and say, well, if we obey his commandments, then this. No, Jesus is saying, loving me will empower you. Loving me will empower you. When you're in love, I mean, when humanly speaking, when we're in love relationally with our girlfriend or our boyfriend or our the one we're engaged to or our spouse, when we're in love, I tell you what, there are things that just, they're just not difficult. Cups of tea are just not difficult. Doing vacuuming is just not difficult. You can ask Janet about that. Because you see, love is the incredible motivator. Love is the life force. Love is the empowering for relational obedience and relational submission and flowing together relationally. That's why if the church really knows and moves in the love of the Father, there's a whole lot of things that are going to go to another whole level. And Jesus said himself, by this the world will know that you have love for one another. I believe there's revelations and encounters and experiences in the love of the Father that are still ahead of us, deeper and more magnificent than we've ever experienced, that are going to lift the church that Jesus is building. It's a believing church. It's going to lift that church into a level of demonstration, and there's going to be people who are searching in the world who are going to look at the love manifest between believers and go, oh my goodness. And that in itself is going to help open their eyes to the fact that their King, their Jesus, their Lord is the true one. While other people are speaking hate, while other people are killing each other, while other people are persecuting each other, the love of God within the saints for each other is going to cause such a demonstration of light in the world that people who've got a heart to hear, or there's something in their heart that is searching, genuinely searching for God, they're going to see it, and it's going to help open their eyes to see their Lord is the true Lord, their King is the true King, their Messiah is the true Messiah. Mark my words. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. That's the translation, another Parakletos. It's an okay translation to say another Savior. He will do exactly what Jesus has been doing for his disciples. He will be their friend. He will be their rescuer. He will be the revealer of the Father. He will be the empowerer. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be with you as a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside of you. Wow. Can that ever be said enough? Verse 18. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again. I will live again. I will live again. Giving the options for the Australians. And you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Empty the pockets. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive one another. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them all things I commanded you. And those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who don't will be condemned. Wow. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. That's why they can't keep you down. You might get discouraged for a while, but they can't keep you down. You might feel oppressed for a while, but it can't keep you down. You might feel disappointed for a while, but it can't keep you down. You might feel as though the world is against you, but it won't keep you down, because there's the life of God in you. Jesus is in you. The Father is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will manifest his life in you. All because the Father loves the world so much that he sent his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The way of the cross was the way of Jesus clearing out the way, clearing our sin out of the way, clearing the consequences of the bondage of the fall out of the way, clearing the guilty of the clearing the consciences of the guilty, clearing that guilt out of the way, killing that, getting that defilement out of the way. So us with open face, with open spirit and open heart, could come boldly to our Father and enjoy him forever, and him enjoy us forever, that we would become living habitations of his very presence. Not just a people where the Spirit might come on us for a job and then leave again like it was in the old covenant, but then we would become walking, breathing habitations of God with the very life of God within us. That's why we get passionate. That's why worship is vital. That's why praise is beautiful. That's why the word from our lips impacts people, because there's love in us, there's power in us, there's conviction in us, there's the life of God in us. Why Christianity isn't boring. If it's boring, it's not Christianity. It's something else. It's something else. Probably one more verse and we'll wrap it up. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Iscariot, the other guy, I always like to make that clear, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word. He says this three times, at least. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. What a phenomenal thing. That obeying him is evidence of our love for him. And then obeying him and loving him passionately results in this manifestation of the love of the Father to us. And then he says, they will make us their home. That stuns me. The idea that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the creator of all things, the most powerful being ever, I mean, he was not created. He is life itself. He's love itself. He's power itself. We come out of him. He's not the invention of anybody else. We come out of him. Everything comes out of him. That supreme being who flung galaxies into space that are unimaginably large, that very one would come and make us his home. Because Jesus made the way through the cross, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, and through his enthronement beside the right hand of the Father. Waiting in the fullness of time, when all things are prepared for the bride, the family, he will come and get us. And Jesus said, plain language, we will always be with him. And resurrected physical form. I mean, has anybody got a hope on earth like that? Has anybody on earth got a future like that? Not only a future, but a present reality. The world tries to squeeze the consciousness of that out of you, but they can't squeeze God out of you. The world and the world system will never be able to squeeze God out of you. You are not a tube of toothpaste. The world cannot empty you of the living God. It may feel like pressure, it might feel like this, it might feel like that, but the one who said he would never leave you, never forsake you, and one who said that they will make their home in you, their habitation with you, will never leave and never forsake. That's why genuine believers, even though they might get knocked down, they get up again. Even though they might feel the pressure, they get up again. Even though they might feel like they've been abandoned, they've never been abandoned, it just feels that way for a while. We of all people have the greatest hope on earth. We of all people have the greatest reason to celebrate and live and be joyful. We of all people have got a mission. We of all people have got purpose. We of all people have got a reason to live and to celebrate and to love one another and to see Jesus manifest in us individually and to see Jesus manifest in us corporately. And my world My goodness, the world needs to see Jesus manifest in us. Let's all stand. We're going to go out now and baptize one or two. Ollie, we're going to baptize Ollie, which is awesome. There was a young man thinking about it well, but I think there's been a bit of illness. I think some of the young people from the camp are still getting over it. Something they picked up at the camp out there. They'll all get over it, but it's one of those things sometimes. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for every person in this room. We thank you for every person online. Every person who needs to give their lives to Jesus Christ, needs to turn their faith toward him and receive him as their Lord and Savior. If that's you today, online and in this room, can you please pray with me right now? You open your heart to the Lord right now, and you pray this with me. He's going to really do something powerful in your life. So, Father, right now, I thank you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I open my heart to you in a whole new way today. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Give me strength to turn away from that which is evil. And let me turn to you wholeheartedly. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for making me your child today. I give my whole life to you. All that I am to you. I receive all that you are into me. Fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you, Father. If you prayed that for the first time, we want to meet you. We want to pray for you. We want, and you can even get baptized in the tub today if you want to. That would be an awesome thing because that's what we're going to be doing. We'll go out now. We'll baptize young Ollie and then the fellowship together. If you need somebody to pray with you, we've got prayer team members. We've got cell group leaders. We've got elders. Various people who can, you can just ask somebody who they are and they'll point somebody out of you and get some prayer, get some ministry if you need it. That'll be fantastic as well while we're all doing that together. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you out on the deck.